Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanest Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording. If you would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leanestlifestyle.com. That's www.LeanestLifestyle.com. That's www.LeanestLifestyle.com. And now, on to the recording. Okay, welcome everyone. Today I'm speaking with Leanest Lifestyle Success, John from Indiana. Hello, John. How you doing? Welcome to the interview.
Hi, Coach. Thank you.
We're talking to John because he's been inducted into the Success Gallery, and he's done exceptionally well. But John, tell us a little bit about yourself. We know you're John Weber, but what do you do? How old are you? How tall are you? And give us the basic rundown.
Sure. As I mentioned, I'm 40 years old. I just turned 40 this year in 2003. I'm an actuary. I work for a financial services company, so basically I have a desk job. I kind of stay seated almost all day long. I'm 5'9" tall, and right now, this morning, I weighed in at about 165 pounds.
Okay. And you're how tall now?
I'm 5'9"
5'9" okay. Yeah. When did you find the Leanest Lifestyle, and what initially brought you to the club?
Yeah, that's interesting. I've kind of got a long history with the Leanest Lifestyle, but only kind of a recent success history with the Leanest Lifestyle. My background kind of is fitness, and with the Leanest Lifestyle is... to be recognized as an actuary and to do my career, I had to take a lot of exams, and in that exam process took, you know, years to take, and I would study months and months on end, and I spent a lot of time sitting and eating and going to the vending machine, and eventually I got done with these exams, and I decided I needed to get in shape because I really hadn't done any exercising since high school, and at the time I finished these exams, I was about 32 years old, so we're talking, you know, 14-year period here. So I enjoyed lifting in high school. So I kind of fitted myself with a home gym in my basement. Started buying, you know, Flex and Muscle magazines, and you know, got turned on to the advertisements with, you know, whatever the supplements were. So, you know, being a curious kind of guy, I started buying some supplements. In the course of buying supplements, I was trying to find a way to get them cheaper. So I found Dave's Power Store.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a customer of the Power Store for a while, and you know, through the various things that you'd made available, your catalog and checking things out online, I kept talking about, you know, the coaching club and the Leanest Lifestyle. So, gosh, I'm not sure when the first edition of Lifestyle was, but I think I purchased a copy back around 1990, maybe?
No. The Leanest Lifestyle, 1999.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I meant 2000.
Oh, okay,
right,
got it.
2000.
Sure.
I got my decades mixed up here. But yeah, right around 2000. That's about when I got done my exam.
Okay.
2000. And so I think I would have gotten the second edition around 2000 or 2001.
Yeah.
And I read through it, and, you know, you had a lot of worksheets in there on paper and how to do things, and you know, I tried, but I just couldn't get it off the ground. I was kind of cafeteria planning it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did that again with the third edition when it came out. And in 2002, I turned 39 and decided that when I turned 40, I wanted to be in better shape because my father and my grandfather had both had major heart attacks at 49. So I joined the coaching club back in, you know, with the line online tools and all that stuff kind of back in May of 2002, kind of messed around throughout 2002, didn't really apply things very well, kind of cafeteria planning like you advise against in the book. And then in 2003, I thought, gee, I've only got 5 months until I turn 40. I really need to get on the stick here. You just put something out that time, I think, about the fourth edition. Or right around then?
Right.
Okay. So I bought the fourth edition, and at that time, you know, the book was a little different format. I really started making use of the coaching club tools and the audio companion that went along with it, and that really put things together for me. So I kind of have a history with the plan, but wasn't really successful with it until recently.
Well, one of the two things that you mentioned that I want to kind of talk about a bit are, one, you mentioned that you had relatives, I think grandparents, or...
And father and grandparent.
And father and grandparent that had passed away at an early age due to heart disease, right? And the other thing you had said is that your 40th birthday was coming up. And tell us why it was important. Tell us why those two things were important to you and why they were probably a motivator.
Well, as far as my father was concerned, I'm kind of the spitting image of my dad. And, I remember very clearly being in high school and having the guidance counselor come get me and taking me off to a room and telling my dad was in the hospital with a heart attack. And, you know, and he was only 49, and I just couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm kind of the spitting image of him. And from the time he turned 49, unfortunately, to the time that he died at 62, was kind of a series of heart attacks and strokes. So, mm-hmm. The quality of his life really diminished at that point. And, so that kind of ties in with being 40. I kind of saw myself, turning the corner. I'm in the decade that was approaching
mm-hmm.
When that had happened to him. And I just made up my mind that, when I was 48 or 47 wasn't the time to do anything about it, that, I'm not that old, but kind of I wasn't getting
sure.
any younger. And if I was going to really make some kind of significant improvement in my health, it needed to be something that was long-term, not kind of some kind of quick fix.
Was your dad heavy?
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't, blubbery obese, but he was probably 225-ish, at a height of maybe 5'9".
Okay.
But, knowing what I know now, he was a very high-stress individual.
Right.
And unfortunately, his doctor, never really counseled him to lose weight. And, I'm sure that he could have, been significantly lighter and been much healthier.
Well, a lot of people are going to be looking at your pictures in the Success Gallery, and they're going to see this super ripped guy, and they're also going to see the guy that was, at one time 225, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But tell us about your history with fitness and weight loss and kind of where you came from and how many legs to your journey were there, and kind of how did you start versus how did you finish? Give us the whole rundown on kind of...
Sure. I was pretty much your typical high school male that was athletically involved. I played football. I did track. And was pretty athletic and I would say in pretty good shape in high school. I went off to college and started studying music and mathematics and basically didn't exercise any until I got to be about 32. So for me, the period that I was in my 20s, maybe till my towards the end of my 30s, I really didn't give it any thought.
Mm-hmm.
I just, ate whatever I felt like and really didn't worry about working out. I remember once in college going to a gym with a friend, having the same kind of mindset that I had when I was in high school and just being totally appalled that I couldn't do one dip. I mean, in high school I was knocking off 30 in a row.
Right.
And so I knew something was wrong then, but I wasn't motivated enough, at the time. It wasn't important for me to do anything about it. As I mentioned a little bit earlier in the interview, I took this series of examinations and I spent a lot of time, sitting and studying and a lot of time on Saturdays. And, to get myself geared up to go in and study on a Saturday, I would stop by a convenience store and get a large, Mountain Dew Slurpee
mm-hmm.
and a couple little Debbie Netty bars, and that'd be my breakfast. And then, for lunch, I would go to Wendy's and have, the value meal with Biggie Fry, and then into dinner, probably Chinese food or pizza.
Right.
You just kind of live for these, the food. And
sure.
then, one thing for having the desk job that I have, the vending machine was my best friend, and it had been for a long time. If you get bored, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get up and you throw some change in the vending machine, and next thing you know, you've got some, a candy bar or a pop or whatever, and you're eating that. And I got to admit, that's still a temptation to me today, something I have to struggle with.
Let me ask you this, John, real quick, before I forget.
Yeah.
One, we kind of blew over it earlier when you were introducing yourself, but just so people have an idea of, your real lifestyle right now. Married kids, any of that going on?
Oh, yes. I've been married for 13 years. I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old son.
Okay, so just to give people a perspective that you're not some swinging single bachelor here who has, all kinds of time and no obligations other than yourself.
No, not at all.
You definitely have the family.
Family, work, 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours a week.
Sure.
And another little caveat is I'm a musician. And I spend time on the weekends, out playing and performing and doing things like that.
What do you play?
I play the saxophone.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like a jazz musician. I that's kind of like my alter ego. I get out and do that. And that's had a whole other set of issues as far as my transformation goes, because it was real common for me after a gig, 2 o'clock in the morning to stop at Arby's and get get something to eat.
Right.
It was just like part of the winding down process that I had to deal with.
Let me ask you this too, because this is another thing that came to mind when you were talking. You said in high school you were pretty athletic, and then you up until when college started, up until your early to mid 30s, you did essentially nothing except study and just kind of hang out and do whatever. It just wasn't a part of your life. So as people are looking at your pictures now in the Success Gallery and they see this muscle, When was that muscle accumulated? And please don't say back in high school,
because
that's not the
case.
Okay,
yeah, so like I mentioned, I was taking these actuarial exams, and earlier I said, I got done with my exams, and so now I had all this free time on my hands, because back then I did not have, I was married, but I didn't have any kids, so I knew I was out of shape, and I knew I needed to do something. I mean, I couldn't even go up one flight of stairs, when I was 225 without being out of breath. It was really pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
And, I start, my pant size kept creeping up every year, and I thought, I got to do something. So, as I mentioned, I went out and I got a set of weights and a Nordic track, and I had all that set up in my basement.
When was this, John? How old were you?
This would have been probably back right around 1995, actually.
So that's, 8 years ago?
Yeah, 8 years ago.
So you would have been about 32?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So at that time, I guess I kind of started thinking, gee, I needed to do something, So I got the weights and the Nordic track, and I never really enjoyed doing the cardio very much, so the weights got used a lot more, and I was fortunate enough to have a friend in the neighborhood who wanted to train with me, so we started lifting, and, I kind of went down that bizarre path you get maybe at that age when you start lifting that, all of a sudden, you start adding some muscle, so, you start thinking about wanting to be a power lifter. And I never competitively power lifted, but, I found out that the more I ate and the heavier I got, the stronger I got.
Right.
Okay, I was putting on weight, but guess what? I just hit a 300-pound bench this week.
Yeah.
So what if I'm wearing, size, 38 or 40 pants?
Right.
I just benched 300 and I can squat about 400.
Exactly.
that made me feel good. But, I went through a period of time very, very slowly, where I was lifting sporadically and just kept eating more, trying different protein powders and, whatever, you open up the Flex and Vanadol, creatine.
Right.
Some of that stuff is good, but, different things. Like I said, that's how I kind of got hooked up at the power store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lifting, I'm trying things, I'm slowly but surely adding weight, it just got to the point where I guess I kind of went on from maybe 32 almost to age 40 where I basically just kind of got heavier and heavier, or maybe I got to about that 225 mark and just kind of hovered around there. The pictures that I think one of the eye-opening things for me was is that, I knew I needed to lose some weight. When I got one of the previous editions of Leanest Lifestyles, I tried to follow it. I took the before pictures and I tried writing my food down and different things. And getting those before pictures back and seeing, really seeing yourself like in a pair of bike shorts.
Right.
From the front, from the back, from the sides, just kind of made me go, holy smokes, is this what my wife sees, when she looks at me? Is this what other people, when I go swimming with my kids, this is what other people see?
Right.
Because I remember a cartoon that I've seen in the past that had a guy looking in the mirror, and he was overweight. And the picture he saw in the mirror was of this big, muscular guy.
Right.
So, his perception of himself was really better than what it was in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely had that going. I thought that I was much more hunky, than I was, and seeing those pictures really set me straight. But, even with that, I wasn't able to really to get it together. The fourth edition of the Lifestyle with the coaching club and the online tools in particular, I don't know if they weren't available then or I just wasn't using them. I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I wasn't using them. And, trying to log my food on paper and figure all this stuff out by hand and on spreadsheets and stuff, to be honest, for me at that time, I did it for a little while with good intentions, but then I just kind of lost, kind of fell off track. I don't want to say it was too hard, but it wasn't nearly as convenient and easy as it is now.
So you've got the fourth edition. You've been lifting now in all this time since you were 32, and you built up to this 300-pound bench and this 400-pound squat. Did you kind of stay in that strength range?
I kind of plateaued out there. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But what that tells me, though, and it should tell others that have some knowledge of this, is that it takes a certain amount of muscle mass to bench 300 pounds.
Sure.
And it takes a certain amount of muscle mass to squat 400 pounds. And even though you were blubbery and had this fat covering it up, you had built some muscle, even though you may not have fully realized that you had, the muscle that you have. You hadn't shed the fat yet. I just want to make the point clear that 300-pound bench, 400-pound squat, that's the kind of numbers for a man that we may need to see if you want to see the kind of muscle that John is now displaying. And it's just very important that, the focus on strength is there. And do you have to bench 300 pounds in the first 3 months? No. How long did it take you, John, to get up to a 300-pound bench?
Yeah, honestly, because I was kind of putzing around, probably, 5 or 6 years.
Sure. So, all right, so now you're 39. It's 2002. You've got the fourth edition. You've got access to the club and the tools and all that kind of good stuff. You immediately jumped right in and ate nothing but chicken breast and broccoli, right?
No, definitely not. You know, one of the things that I really want to stress, especially for somebody getting, you know, started with the plan is that, you know, I view from where I was to where I got, you know, as maybe four or five kind of transformations kind of strung together.
All right.
And the first part of it, it was really January of 2003 when I got serious about, you know, being on lifestyle. So for me, you know, we've talked about, and you'll talk about in the book about having whys, you know, and I guess we've kind of discussed my why, but my why was, gee, I'm about to turn 40. You know, it, mentally that meant something to me. You know, I'm not sure why, but that was like a hot button for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gee, you know, my father had a heart attack at 49, so did my grandfather. You know, I know that's way off in the future, but that's, you know, I've got young boys now, and I love my kids, and I want to be around to play with my grandkids. So, you know, I just felt like I needed to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got the fourth edition, you know, started reading it, you know, was working on it, and just kind of making up my mind to move forward.
So in stage one, what kind of foods were you eating?
Yeah, for stage one, you know, I was eating out a lot still. I wasn't, at the end here, I was packing my foods a lot. But at the beginning, you know, I would regularly go to, you know, Taco Bell. I would regularly go to McDonald's. I would regularly go to Wendy's. I'd regularly go to Subway. Mm-hmm. I'd regularly go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. But the thing that helped me with that is that, you know, almost all these places now have websites where you can get the nutrition information for their menus. So I would go out and I would try and figure out, well, you know, what is, you know, lifestyle or reasonably lifestyle friendly off the menu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I found out for myself that, you know, I like barbecue. You know me from my history, you know, my splurge meals have been barbecued ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and you know, the honey barbecue chicken sandwich wasn't such a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, roasted chicken was a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taco Bell, and one of the things you mentioned in the book is getting a chicken soft taco with double meat.
Right.
You know, I would do that, but I'd not get cheese on it because I'd get half the cheese. You know, I wouldn't be afraid to ask for them to tweak things a little bit.
That's right.
You know, Wendy's, I would get a chicken sandwich. You know, let's see.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I think we get the idea with that. They have to, you know, each person's going to have to look at the menu and not be afraid to say, hey, skip the sour cream, leave that off, don't put mayo on it, you know, do this and that, but they can still eat a fast food. Let me ask you. So this is stage one. That's all well and good that you were very astute and you were willing to speak up and make sure you ask for what you wanted at these restaurants and you were still able to eat out. But did you have any success with that?
Oh yeah, positively. Yeah,
you did. Okay.
Yeah, in my pictures, where I'm the heaviest at 225. You know, as I mentioned, when I turned 39, I kind of messed around for the remainder of 2002, and I lost about 10 or 12 pounds.
Okay.
Just you know, haphazardly applying the lifestyle principles. You know, not really dialing in, you know, to it.
But you lost 10 or 12 pounds then, still eating at these fast food restaurants.
Well, I'm sorry. What I want to say is, I went from 225 to 212. I was 212 in January of 2003.
Okay.
And actually, it's much better than that. When I was eating the fast food and doing stuff, I actually lost 20 pounds.
Got it.
I went from 212 down to 192.
So let's talk about this for a second then. Okay. Let's back it way up for the person who is just starting and is trying to think, oh my gosh, you know, John is, you know, ripped to shreds. And when we find out, which you and I will discuss in a minute, when we find out what he ate in the last 4 weeks to get there, there's no way I can do that. Why even start? It's a hopeless cause, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So let's back up before you start being a good boy at the fast food restaurants.
Right.
And let's talk about how you lost that first 10.
Yeah.
How off were you then?
I was way off. I mean, I wasn't logging my foods. You know, basically, you know, before I...
Well, how did you get the first 10 off
yeah,
then?
Yeah, well, I more or less stopped eating French fries and mayonnaise and maybe cheese on a hamburger. I mean, it was a small step
for sure.
I mean, for me, you know, back when I didn't care, you know, I would eat out for lunch every day, you know,
right.
And it would be the hamburger and French fries.
What were the vending machines like, too?
Oh, yeah, right, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, that would be in two Snickers bars, you know, we have nice vending machines here at work, so I'd be getting Pop-Tarts out of them. I mean, you know, you name it, it was in there.
So, like, when you first lost your first 10, did you, like, go to, like, one Pop-Tart and one Snickers or something?
Right, yeah. I this got more progressive, too. I would not keep change around. You know, I would maybe make sure I only had 60 cents in my pocket that day so that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I wanted to make one trip, I felt like I needed to do it. Okay, there it was. but it wasn't going to turn into two trips or three trips.
So you didn't keep $1.20 in your pocket. You kept 60 cents in your pocket.
Intentionally, right.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, oh, that's awesome.
You know,
that's awesome.
So I would do that. And like I said, you know, what I really stopped, back in the first 10 or 12, you know, I was still eating a lot of hamburgers and you know, a lot of pizza. But,
right.
You know, but, you know, some of the things that for me were, like, clearly, I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to eat French fries. I'm going to stop eating onion rings, you know, every meal.
Yeah,
you,
sure.
You know, and I just kind of made, you know, some, you know, minor, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I maybe went to 2, you know, and I stayed like that maybe for 6 or 7 months.
Well, and also during this time, your activity patterns were still about the same, and they were already set. You were lifting, whatever, 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah, but I was, well, actually, it was kind of, I during that period of time, I was lifting about 3 days a week, and I did get a membership to the local Y, and for a little bit of time in there, although it just got hard to do, I would try to go over lunch and maybe, you know, get on the track. And that was a rough thing because, you know, I found out that I couldn't even, you know, run a mile. I mean, it was really sad.
Was it was that like a once-a-week thing?
Yeah, maybe twice a week
okay.
at the most.
All right.
And that was hit and miss.
So your first step here, and this is really important, your first step here is reducing the number of portions of French fries and corn curls and onion rings and that kind of thing. And also, instead of having 2 Snickers bars and Pop-Tart during the day, you had a Snickers bar. And it was the little changes like that initially, without really doing much more, that helped get off the first 10.
Right, that got the ball rolling.
All right, so now you're down 10, and now you're taking the next step. And the next phase is, look, I'm still going to eat at the fast food restaurants. I'm not going to give that up. It's just a part of, you know, my fast-paced lifestyle. But when I go to these restaurants, I'm going to start asking for less cheese, keep the sour cream off, and choosing, as we say, choosing the better bad choices.
Right.
And now with that approach, you lost about 20 pounds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's kind of phase two. And now take us into...
In phase two, I did try to be a little more dedicated to my resistance or my aerobic training.
Okay,
too.
So you bumped that up a little.
Yeah.
And now in phase three now, we're down maybe 30 pounds from 225. So we're 190, 195, somewhere
yeah,
in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now what are we doing?
Well, you know, at that time, I could kind of feel myself, like, you know, losing 20 pounds. I'm starting to feel pretty good. It's like, I've lost 20 pounds. I haven't weighed 192 pounds, you know, for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm thinking to myself, you know, way to go, good job. And, you know, and honestly, you know, it was a good job. I mean, I had lost a fair amount of weight.
Right.
But I knew for myself that, I kind of wanted to take it a step further. I wanted to really go a little more because, you know, you've got so much information packed in the book,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is kind of the height weight charts, you know, for what you should weigh, or, and I'm an actuary, so I particularly pick up on that. Actuaries do things that deal with people's mortality and
sure.
longevity, and so I'm sitting at that, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, you know, well, I certainly couldn't weigh as little as that chart because, you know, I'm a big weightlifter guy, but I probably could lose a few more pounds. So I had the good fortune at that time that you started the team. You were taking applications for the Team Muscle 2 intensive.
Okay,
and that was kind of the. So I'd come down 20, and everyone said you look great. I'm getting patted on the back, and but then the intensive came up, and I thought to myself, gosh, you know, I could see at the point where I'm at now that I could kind of rest on my laurels and say good enough,
mm-hmm.
or I could try and kind of throw myself, you know, in kind of like the stream, you know, of progress here and you know, do something special for myself, you know, and get involved in this intensive if I could be selected, you know.
Right.
And I was, and you know, there's so much you can do with a lifestyle without the intensive, you know, I mean, there's so much information in there. But for me, you know, the intensive, you know, really helped me turn the corner, and it was kind of a life-changing experience for me.
Well, it improves focus, and,
right.
you know, so much.
That's the thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you're 190-ish, and right. you're getting ready to start Team Muscle 2 Intensive,
right.
which started in April.
Right.
And the Team Muscle 2 Intensive, for anyone who doesn't know, was 8 weeks of intense, more of the, I call it the hands-on, even though I didn't really lay hands on anyone. It was definitely a lot more of my attention, weekly conferences, and a lot of kind of monitoring what each person is doing and giving feedback and all that. And then it was an 8-week follow-up where each participant was left of their own devices with the knowledge and the tools that they had been taught and they had been given. And it was more of a maintenance phase, or they could continue to lose weight in the second 8-week phase. So there was an 8-week phase, and then there was two 8-week phases, phase 1 and phase 2, and phase 1 is was where the we had the weekly conferences. We had more of the hands-on and the feedback. And phase two was more of you've been taught it, you've been given it. Now let's see what you can do on your own. Although it's still all a part of the intensive. So the entire intensive was about 16 weeks. So in the first 8 weeks, what'd you do? How'd your body fat change? How'd your weight change? And what happened?
Sure. Well, during the first the intensive, like you said, is very focused, very structured. You kind of gave every guy in the group, a suggested weight loss goal for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we had things that we needed to do. So during that first 8 weeks, I tightened things up. I actually kind of got a shock in the middle of it because, I thought, going into, I'm losing my weight and I'm pretty much doing what I wanted. And you kind of came along and said, you're doing fine, but, you really could do a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your expectations in the intensive, you've directly committed yourself, mm-hmm. Me to something and you were, giving us our money's worth, and so during that, I tightened up my eating. I really was religious in my cardio because you've got, a whole group of people that are really supporting you that are going through the exact same thing you're going through. So during that period of time, I lost, I need to look at my shirt, but I think I went from 192 to 19 and a half pounds I lost during that period of time.
So
in the first 8 week phase of the intensive. So when we were all meeting and talking regularly. And at the beginning of that, I had my body fat measured at 17%. With by a trainer, and at the end of it, I had it measured it right at 10% at the end of the 8 weeks. So I'd lost 19.5 pounds during that first 8 weeks, and my body fat had gone from 17% down to 10% during the first 8 weeks.
Okay, awesome. Now, this is kind of like the next progression. Remember when we first started, you went from two Snickers bars to one Snickers bar, and
started cutting back. Step three, really, for me.
Yeah, it's really kind of like step three, and during this phase, during that first 8 week. During the phase one of the 16-week intensive, what was a typical day like then? Now, what kind of foods are you eating? What's your activity like
during that first 8 weeks? Right?
Yeah,
yeah. We had real specific things you wanted us to do during there. And for me, even that was the first time that I really started consuming a lot of vegetables and lean meats and things like that. I kind of started weaning myself away from going and eating the fast foods as much as I did. Although, periodically I would do that.
What'd you do? How'd you eat fast food?
Maybe instead of having, a Subway, two times a week or three times a week, I might have it once a week.
Okay.
And then I started packing my lunch a lot more.
I'm also not hearing Burger King and Taco Bell, or did you have those?
Right. No, I would have Taco Bell, but it was the double chicken,
chicken gordito,
soft,
yeah.
Yeah, chicken soft taco type thing. But no, I started really kind of cutting back on bread and things like that. And the main reason that I did that was, by the time that I'm in the Team Muscle 2, and you're getting into it, I was getting pretty good with the tools. I was getting pretty good with the nutrition analyzer. I was getting pretty good with the lean account. And I also was getting had a great understanding of what I needed to do to succeed at that time. So part of that was, getting your macronutrients right. Mentally I'm at a point now where I can handle more changes.
Right.
And, I knew how, so, basically with the online tools, I knew how much weight I wanted to lose, for a week. I knew how much exercise I committed myself to doing. I knew what macronutrient ratios I should be eating, and with the lean account, I knew how many calories to eat a day. So basically, I would work with those tools to make sure that I kind of had, my numbers right at that time. And where I could, or if I just had some time where I couldn't get home, impossible, or I perceived it as impossible, let's put it that way. That's when I would, have the Subway or the Taco Bell.
Well, early on, you were having, 24-ounce Mountain Dew slushies or
right.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so give us first of all, I want to ask you this question first. Question one is, give us an example of an average day. Don't try to, say this is exactly what I ate every day, and I was always perfect, because we know better.
Right.
Because no one has to be perfect to get, even to the level that you've gotten to, no one has to be perfect. So give us an average day. And the other thing I want to ask is, I want you to follow up with, what do you think would have happened to you? Don't answer it yet. But what do you think would have happened to you if, when you were 225, when you very first started, if you had tried to eat this way then?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and tell us were eating. What was an average day?
Well, and I guess an average day for me, and I'll just say, let's just say right towards the end of Team Muscle 2.
Okay.
Okay. An average day for me was, and I got to admit, some people that we've talked to, they're eating nothing but fresh, foods and everything like that. And I probably relied on supplements, more than they did. I mean, for me, I would get up in the morning, I would work out. I found out that made me feel good. I felt refreshed in the morning when I worked out. And then for me, but working out meant that I had to hustle a little bit more to get to work. So typically I would have a meal replacement shake and a piece of fruit for breakfast.
Okay.
So, so that's what I would do.
All right.
And then, I was trying to eat five, six times a day. So I would let a couple hours go by, and I'm being completely honest here, then I'd have probably a Promax bar.
Okay.
So then after that, I would have packed my lunch, and so that was my first two meals. Then my third meal, usually when I pack my lunch, I would kind of pack, an extra big portion of whatever I was taking, like, fresh vegetables or whatever, and maybe, let's say, chicken, or I got to be a big fan of roasted pork loin. I cook those up on my grill and would have a big cooked pork loin in my fridge, and I cut off 8 to 10 ounces of that. So I would pack that, so here I am with maybe 3 cups of vegetables and 10 ounces of pork loin, and I would eat half of that maybe around 11 o'clock, and then I would eat the rest of it maybe around 2 o'clock or 2:30.
Okay.
And then in the evening I would come home, and then I would have dinner with my family, and, they had adapted pretty well to this. My wife was very willing to make the right, good choices available. And I would have, some kind of, lean meat, or I started eating salmon during the intensive, or, a poultry of some kind, typically with a salad with a bunch of things thrown in the evening. Then maybe later in the day, if I felt like I needed something, I might have a glass of milk with some protein powder or something like that in it.
Well, one of the things I just want to say is, isn't it nice as a fellow married man, isn't it nice when your wife does support you? I mean, it's not mandatory, but isn't it nice when they do?
Yeah, and for me, my wife was, we've been married for 13 years, and she saw what my father went through, and she's always encouraged me to, always wanted me to eat better. She's always been a good at, putting nutritious stuff on the table, So this wasn't really too much of a stretch, for her, the downfall we had prior to this was, me wanting to get pizza, me wanting to bring Chinese food home, or me saying, let's go to get ice cream after supper,
Absolutely. So, all right, so that's your typical day. Now, let's follow up with that next question, which is, back when you were 225, if someone had said to you, John, here's how I want you to start.
Yeah.
Eat this, have your Promax bar next, then cut off 8 to 10 ounces of pork loin with 2 cups of... What do you think would have happened to you?
I would have done that for about a day. I mean, for me, one of the things that you work with me on and work with all of us on at Team Muscle, too, is upping our vegetable consumption.
Right.
And, for me, the only vegetables that I ate probably for a 10 or 15-year period there were baked beans. And if I got any lettuce or anything like that, it came off of a hamburger.
Absolutely.
I really ate no vegetables.
Hey, you're a man after my own heart. That's how I was 10 years ago.
I have a German background, and it was meat and potatoes. I mean, that's what we ate. Salad, forget it.
Right.
Trying to eat all those vegetables at first, would just, I wouldn't have accepted it, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have.
No.
And for me, I wean myself into eating more. And I can honestly say, I'm better for it now. I mean, I really am. I feel so much better, with the way I eat. It's just, the way I feel is just, I can't even describe it. Just not like I'm not sluggish, not like I'm in a fog, like I used to feel. And I don't even think I was aware that I felt that way at that time, but being on the other side now,
it's easy to see.
So for me, I ate a lot of broccoli and a lot of carrots, because I like those things, But I eventually started eating tomatoes and different green beans and a whole host of things that I'd never eaten before. I found myself being creative when I made a salad and just kind of surprising myself. But I found that I felt better and I really enjoyed the way those things tasted.
What was activity like during the intensive? How many minutes of this and how many minutes of that?
Yeah. Well, the intensive is, the intensive, is intense.
Right.
So for me, with the weight loss goals and the things that we had established, the clear goals in there, I did resistance training 3 times a week for about 50 minutes, and I'm still on that schedule. And then the thing I really did was I upped my aerobic training. And the one thing I want to mention that was really interesting for me is I found that I have a treadmill, got rid of the Nordic Track, and I did all my training in my basement on my treadmill, you know, either listening to music or I have a little television set up down there. And I never really, you know, like wipe myself out on my aerobic training. I mean, I would set my treadmill at, you know, like maybe 4.5 miles an hour and put a program in that varied the incline. And, you know, I started gradually in on that, maybe doing, you know, 25, 30 minutes. And throughout the course of the intensive, as I started just feeling better, you know, at the end of that, I was probably doing 3 to 4 times a week, maybe 60 minutes.
Okay.
But I wasn't, you know, it was kind of like moderate intensity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's momentum you build during the intensive, and, you know, I was kind of psyched, and, you know, you have this goal at the end where you want to, you know, you want to accomplish things, and, you know, it got me going that. And now, post-intensive, you know, I've really dropped my aerobic training back. I've kind of gone to interval training, and I find it that I'm really enjoying that.
Okay. Now, you've already talked a little bit about this. I know you brought in some bars, and you've used protein shakes and that. Were there any other supplements that you used, and what were they?
Okay. The thing I liked about the bars was the macronutrient thing is about right. So, you know, it was kind of like a no-brainer to eat one.
Sure.
Wasn't really harming myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I did the meal replacement because that was convenient and it was kind of a no-brainer. You know, I knew if I had that breakfast that I nutritionally, maybe it wasn't the whole or natural foods, but at least from a protein, carbohydrate, and fats point, my first step in the day was I had my foot firmly on the right path,
right,
you know, from what I was putting in my body. With the intensive, though, you know, being team muscle, you know, and wanting to, you know, and I really enjoy lifting, I started using the creatine,
mm-hmm,
you know, during the Team Muscle 2 intensive. I hadn't used it any really much prior to that, maybe sporadically, but not regularly.
Okay.
And then from reading the book, you know, I did the EFA, essential fatty acids.
Sure.
You know, I added those.
Good.
That was good. I started taking a multivitamin, you know, and from lifting hard, you know, we have some comments in the book about maybe additional vitamin C and vitamin E to help
with
DOMS. So, you know, I tried that. You know, I'm one to want to try things.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried that. So that was pretty much what I did during the Team Muscle 2 intensive.
Right. Okay. Now, just so I have it on record here, I don't think we've said, you know, when you were 225, what was your waist?
About 40 inches.
40. And at the end of Team Muscle 2 intensive, what did it get down to?
Probably about 32, but I've made quite a bit of progress since then.
All
too,
right.
So, but the end of Team Muscle 2, probably around 32.
Okay, so you've graduated from Team Muscle 2, and you graduated at, I think, 170-something?
172 and a half.
172
yeah.
and a half. And at that point, you again... You've given a term to it about some kind of a tease, and
That's right. Yeah. What we've mentioned is it's kind of like a body fat strip tease.
Well, explain. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, the leaner I got, you know, my body started taking on a shape that, you know, I'd never seen before. You know, it had never been there. You know, even when I was in high school, you know, for lack of a better term, I still had a boy's body.
Sure.
You know, when you're a man, you know, you mature, you fill out different ways.
Right.
And I'd never been lean as a mature male. So, I got down there and I'm like, hey, you know, I've kind of got pecs. You know, hey, you know, my biceps are starting to show. You know, it was always a dream of mine, you know, to have that vein running down my arm, you
sure.
know. And I had that at 172. And so as the fat started coming off, I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And then looking at some of my fellow teammates from Team Muscle 2, seeing what they'd accomplished, I was thinking, well, you know, or Coach Tom or yourself, you know, I mean, someone, you know, there's hundreds of examples in the coaching club, it
sure.
seems like. But I thought, you know, well, what's going to happen to me if I just keep pushing this a little bit further? And so, you know, slowly but surely, kind of tantalizingly, it started coming off. And one thing I want to mention, in the 8 weeks after Team Muscle 2, one of the things we talk about in Team Muscle 2 was, certain weight goals, and everybody kind of, it seems like we all, the men on that kind of had different thoughts. I'll see my abs when I weigh blah, you know,
because
that would seem to kind of be a common goal that, you know, several of us wanted to have. And I just had, you know, the tease for me, and the frustrating tease for me was I kept thinking it would be at 172.
Oh, right.
They weren't there. I kept thinking it'd be at 169. And it was finally like, you know, gee, how lean am I going to have to be before I, you know, have a decent stomach here?
Right.
And then I got to the point where I thought, well, it just doesn't matter. I don't care. You know, I'm going to set a goal for myself of trying to be, actually what I did was I set a date goal, you know, which was at this, it was the, September 27th, and I just said, "What? You know, I'm just going to work hard until then, and whatever shape I'm in then is going to have to be good enough."
Well, one of the things too that I want you to talk about for just a second is, you know, and I think that's just an awesome phrase anyway, the body fat striptease, because the more you lost, the more it kind of teased you to take it just another step further.
Right.
And then you lost a little more, and it was like, geez, you know, I'm liking it even more. I think I want to take it even just another step further.
Right.
Now, when you first started at 225, was where you ended up your goal?
No. It was light years from my goal.
Okay.
I mean, I had no clue that I would end up. If you would have told me when I was 225 that I would have weighed in, and I weighed in that day at 161,
right?
You know, but I'd really kind of trained down for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that I'd lost both legs, or I had cancer, or something horrible would have happened to me. I would have scoffed. I would have said, "No way."
What about even skip the body weight for a second?
Yeah.
What about the look? Was that your goal?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Your goal at that time was just what? Just get a little healthier.
To get healthier. And in the back of my mind, I thought, too, I wouldn't mind having a little vein in my arm or something, or something that indicated that I spent some time with a barbell. I didn't have any great expectations.
Some life in this adventure that shows that you actually train.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, so I just wanted to, you know, make
sure.
That point clear because, you know, that body fat striptease phrase, you know, I've never heard it before. It's, you know, but it's so appropriate because in talking to all of the clients that I talk to, it's actually what occurs quite frequently.
Yeah.
Is they don't start off when they're 225 thinking, six pack ripped, I know I'm going to get there, let's go for it.
No way.
They just look at it and go, God, I don't know, just let me get 20 pounds off. I feel
well,
so.
Like I said, when I got down to 192 pounds right about when we started the intensive, I was really pretty satisfied then with myself. You know, I thought, okay, I'm feeling better. I can go up the stairs now without being out of breath. And I probably, you know, if I hadn't done the Team Muscle 2 intensive, I probably wouldn't be too terribly far from that weight today.
Oh, sure.
You know, I probably would have been okay with that. And in my mind, you know, I've enjoyed the level of fitness I've accomplished now, and I'm not going to allow myself to go back up that high, but I think I could have been healthy and been okay there.
Right. Know? I understand. Well, what's tougher for you these days? Well, wait a minute. Let me back up a second here. I'm losing my train just a sec.
Sure.
So we've got to get you to this 161 and this body fat that I'm looking at least in the photos and stuff, and I'm going to put you somewhere between that 5% and 6% range. And I don't think anybody looking at the photos is going to argue with that at all, especially anyone who's ever competed or any trainers who have ever tested anyone body fat wise. But regardless of what the actual number is, everyone can see that you're super ripped and lean, and you're ready for a bodybuilding show basically. So, in your last stretch, last 3-4 weeks, whatever. You've made all these progressions. You went from two Snickers bars to one. You went from, you know, double ding-dongs to single. You then started eating better at fast food restaurants, and you've made all these progressions. What's the final progression here?
Yeah. Well, the final progression for me was, you know, I set this date, and I could kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, I was completely, in my opinion, on the straight and narrow at that time. I mean, I was not allowing myself to. I was really paying attention to the lean account and to the nutrition analyzer and what I'd read in the book about, like, the last 4 weeks, the last 2 weeks, you know. And I talked some, and I tried to adopt in my mind, you know, that, I was going to do a bodybuilding show. You know, I mean, that's the kind of shape I was going to go for. It. This was going to be the best that I was going to look. So, you know, with that kind of goal and that kind of clarity and that kind of focus and knowing that it wasn't months away, it was just a couple weeks away, it was really pretty easy clean. So, and I wasn't eating out of a vending machine at all. I was eating, my vegetables and my lean meats and, you know, just maybe slightly reduced portions from what I was eating. I was very diligent with my lifting. I wasn't doing anything on Sundays as far as my aerobic training was concerned. I kind of gone over to interval training, but I just made sure that, the things that I read that I was supposed to do, that I did all of them.
So you had started at a 40, you ended Team Muscle 2 with a 32 waist, and you finished 161. What was your waist a week ago?
Well, the pants that I have on in the photo are 30s, but, it's funny. I think I could have easily gotten into a pair of 29s, but
wow.
If you look at the pictures of my thighs, you know, in some of these, I've got my pants won't accommodate my glutes and my thighs, a pair of 29s, they're not built for, I couldn't get, they weren't comfortable.
Exactly.
Know? I could stand in them, but I couldn't sit, although I had the waist fit fine.
Exactly.
So I was probably down to 20, 29, 28 and a half.
Well, let's kind of wrap up here for in just a minute here. Let me ask you this. Talk to the person for a second who's getting ready to begin any, you know, weight control program, and especially the leanest lifestyle, and they're trying to decide whether they wanted to go ahead and give it another shot. You know, maybe they've gone through 25 false starts, maybe they've only gone through 3 false starts, maybe they've used 2 or 3 different plans in the past and had some success, but maybe they've rebounded back to where they started.
Sure.
They're trying to decide, should I go ahead and give it another go? And what's your advice to that person?
Yeah, well, you know, my advice is to give it another go and to be patient with themselves. And I think the mindset that I had to adopt when I finally made the change was is that, you know, I really wanted it to kind of be different this time. You know, I mean, I accepted the fact that I had failures in the past, and you know, the leanest lifestyle, based on my exposure to it and the success gallery was, you know, seeing things was, I knew it was a plan that would work, and I thought it was a plan that would work for me. Because I didn't really, when you look at your clients, I didn't really see myself really a lot different than anybody. You know, it's like, you know, they can do it, I can do it. So, you know, so my, you know, have faith in the plan. You know, make use of everything that you have available. I mean, the support structure of the leanest lifestyle is just, you know, simply wonderful. I mean, you know, you make yourself available. There's just a, you know, plethora of information available in the book. There's the audio companion. There's the tools. And also understand that, you know, you don't have to be the master of all that stuff, you know, right out of the blocks. You know, the important thing is to start moving forward and you know, trying to be good for, I guess, for that day.
Right.
You know, and accepting that, you know, at first, you know, you're trying to make a change, you know, and, you know, the leanest lifestyle is appropriately named. I mean, you know, you want to try, and if you're serious about, you know, making a change, you know, you're probably going to have to make somewhat of a lifestyle change. And it doesn't have to come all at once, but, you know, you need to kind of start working in that direction. And, you know, so for the person that's just getting started, you know, what are some things that they can, you know, what are the things that I would recommend somebody do, you know, in order to, you know, build a strings of successful days together?
Right.
You know, because that's really what it's about,
exactly.
is getting started and stringing those together. And, you know, one of the things, and I won't keep repeating this, but so much of this is in the book, but, you know, you don't want to have the foods around the house that make it easy for you to stumble. You know, you don't want to have a bag of chocolate chip cookies there, you know, because you will be tempted and you will want to eat those cookies, you know. And you know, to go to the cabinet and just have really nothing there that's going to allow you to, you know, crash and burn, you know, makes things easier on yourself. It's easier to kind of have that roadblock thrown up by not having those things there than it is to hold the bag in your hands and say, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
And also, you know, so, you know, at home, that's kind of an attitude to take. And then for me, like as far as eating out, you know, I made up my mind when I went to Taco Bell or Subway's or Wendy's what I was going to get, you know, and I just kind of like, you know, clenched my fist when I walked in there and just walked up and ordered and didn't give myself the opportunity to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, as far as the vending machine for people that have desk jobs, you know, I just tried to make it a point not to keep change around or things that would make it easy for me to make a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I do.
So that's, you know, at the beginning, like I said, you want to try and make it as easy on yourself as possible to string the successful days together, and, you know, be patient with yourself and don't by any means, you know, feel like you have to read the whole book or listen to everything before you get started, because I think I was well into Team Muscle 2 before I finished actually.
So anyway, as we were saying here, I think what you're describing is that people will do better if they set up their environment for success.
Yeah.
And, you know, that involves a number of things, and it can be as simple as only having 60 cents in your pocket instead of $1.20. It can be as important as not having your weakness foods, trigger foods, in the home. You're much less likely to eat them if they're not there, because you're probably not going to get in the car and go get them. That doesn't mean you won't.
Right.
Sometimes you will, but most of the time you will not. So it's very, very important, like John said, to set up your environment for success, even in small ways in the beginning, whatever that may be. And there's no doubt about it, John, you've done incredibly well. And, you know, your level of leanness in these last photos here are, you know, it's just incredible. And it does put you in that, you know, super high percentile. And it's where I think a lot of men, you know, envision themselves going, and a lot of them will be able to get there if they do what you have done. And I want to thank you for sharing kind of where you've come from and how the stages have progressed.
Yeah.
Because you didn't start off with, you know, you didn't start where you finished. And
no.
I mean, mindset-wise, food-wise, environment-wise, goal, and none of it. You started with a certain plan. You started with a certain mindset. You just wanted to get healthy. And, you know, as you said, it's so perfect. The body fat striptease ensued. And the more you saw, the more progress you saw, the more you wanted. And while that's so common, again, I hadn't heard anyone say it just like that. And so that's really all I want to say. I want to thank you for sharing a part of your life with me today. And is there anything else that you want to say to anyone who may be listening now or in the future before we close?
I guess my last comment is that, you know, just have faith in yourself and give the leanness lifestyle a shot. And I think you'll be surprised at how successful you'll be.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LennEdward, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, N as in Nora, N as in Nora, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, then lifestyle.com. That's www.LennEssLifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.